The War Against Whites in Advertising by Richard Houck. The mass marketing of interracial relationships, particularly white women with black men, has become so ubiquitous and so militant, even the least observant members of our culture have begun to notice. Walking through a mall recently, I noticed three large marketing images of couples in three different stores. Two of the three were interracial couples, depicting a white woman and a black man. The third couple was white. Perhaps what struck me as most peculiar was the fact that the city where I was shopping, whites make up about 97% of the population, blacks are less than 2%. I wondered if the purpose of diverse advertising was to sell more products or really to indoctrinate, to condition, and signal how progressive they are. Based on small glimpses of culture, one might assume half or more of all relationships involve some sort of race mixing. If a person who had no information about the US or Europe were to see our television, magazine, billboard, and storefront advertisements, he might assume there were virtually zero normal white men anywhere to be found. The combination of white women with black men is hands down the most common mixed-race couple depicted in advertising. That combination will be the focus of this essay. I thought about the probability that two of the three advertisement couples I saw in the mall that afternoon were there by mere coincidence. Between men and women, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, and other, there are 25 possible combinations of couples. If the diversity in advertising was truly about appealing to the greatest number of customers or potential customers, showing white women with black men at such a high level seems to be a very odd strategy. To focus so much on one combination while ignoring so many others, there simply must be some other goal beyond selling merchandise. There is a notable and interesting body of research on interracial relationships and marriages. It is not exhaustive by any means, but we can synthesize the available data to form an accurate view of such relationships. Pew Research 2012 conducted a large study of interracial marriage that provides a considerable amount of data. Since 1980, the total percent of interracial marriages has risen from 3.2% to 8.4%. Of new marriages, the rate rose from 6.7% to 15.1%. In 2010, the most common intermarriage was white-Hispanic at 43.3% and white-black, the least common, at 11.9%. Not all interracial relationships, of course, are marriages, but we can use the marriage data to reasonably extrapolate the information to the wider society and relationships. As of 2010, whites, on average, were the least likely to marry outside of their race. Less than 10% of whites intermarry, while Hispanics, blacks, and Asians are all 2 to 3 times more likely to intermarry. A study of over 2 million online dating interactions revealed distinct racial preferences between groups. White women responded most frequently to white men and least frequently to black men. In light of this data, it is all the more bizarre that the combination of a white woman with a black man is seen so frequently in advertising. A 2015 study examined the outcomes of women that have children with black men. The results were staggering. Currently, 70% of black children are born out of wedlock. However, when the mother is white and the father black, the rate jumps to 97%. 97% report the father is not in the child's life. 98% of white mothers studied reported the father does not support their children financially. And 97% of the women have used welfare to help support themselves and their children. The vast majority of white women that have children with black men live far below the poverty line. Only 10% of women that have children with black men out of wedlock end up marrying. A 2013 study of intimate partner violence in relationships surveyed nearly 10,000 people. The authors hypothesized that interracial couples would experience higher levels of violence compared to intraracial relationships. They found that compared to white relationships, both black couples and interracial couples experience statistically significant higher levels of relationship violence. The National Center for Injury Prevention and Control estimates that relationship violence costs around $4.1 billion a year in medical and mental health care costs. Among whites in 1958, only 4% approved interracial marriages between whites and blacks. In 2007, 75% of whites reported they approve of such unions. Historically and contemporarily, blacks and Hispanics have always held a higher approval rating of interracial marriages. From a 2011 Pew Research study, 40% of whites, 51% of blacks, and 48% of Hispanics report that people of different races marrying is a change for the better in society. 12% of whites, 8% of blacks, and 9% of Hispanics say it's for the worse, and the remaining of those surveyed say there is no difference. The younger the cohort, the more likely they were to say the increase in interracial marriage is for the better, liberals more likely than conservatives to say interracial marriage is for the better, and college graduates were also more likely to support the notion. Pew Research 2010 found that 69% of people surveyed said that single women having children is a bad thing, 43% say unmarried couples raising children is a bad thing, yet only 14% say interracial marriage is a bad thing. There is something oddly ironic about being in favor of interracial relationships, while at the same time abhorring the logical outcomes of those relationships. Both Pew Research and Gallup's latest findings report the majority of U.S. citizens approve of interracial marriages and relationships. Although these are generally self-reporting surveys and anonymous, a study of brain scans suggests that there is a social desirability bias coming into play. Social desirability bias is the tendency of survey and study participants to reply to socially contentious questions in a way that is socially and publicly acceptable, even when the surveys are anonymous. A 2017 study in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology looked at insula activity in the brain when participants viewed images of interracial couples compared to same-race couples. Insula activation is responsible for a variety of emotions. Evidence shows that insula activity is present when a person experiences disgust and is thought to be a reliable marker for both disgust and aversion. The study found statistical significance between insula activation of participants looking at same-race couples compared to interracial couples. Despite a minority of participants explicitly stating they disagree with interracial dating and marriage, the electroencephalogram, EEG, told a different story. This study also used an implicit association task, IAT, to measure response times of participants in categorizing interracial couples and same-race couples with either a silhouette of a human or a silhouette of an animal. Participants were placed in two conditions, one primed with disgusting images, the other with positive images. Researchers found that all participants showed an implicit bias towards matching interracial couples with animals, and the condition primed to be disgusted was even faster, showing a greater implicit bias against interracial couples. There was both a neural reaction of disgust and an implicit reaction of disgust to interracial couples. We now know that whites are the least likely to marry outside of their race. We know that when white women marry outside of their race, they are more likely to be abused, to become single mothers, live in poverty. We know that despite feigned acceptance, white people show a legitimate disgust response to interracial relationships. We also know that despite the barrage of quote-unquote diversity in films, television, and in advertisements, same-race couples are still the most common, by far. So what's the purpose of the blatant propaganda? David Vinjamori for Forbes writes, quote, "What's the advantage of a wider variety of gender, ethnicity, and sexual presence represented in media and advertising? Simply put, we are more likely to identify with someone that looks like us," unquote. Michelle Castillo for CNBC suggests that Americans want even more, quote-unquote, diversity in ads, where she cites a survey of 2,000 people where 66% report diversity in advertising as a factor to consider when purchasing a product. These are excuses, at best. We still have not answered why we see the very particular arrangement of white women with black men time and time again. I do not believe for a second that interracial advertising under the guise of quote-unquote diversity is about selling clothes or laundry detergent or cereal. It is propaganda through and through, the purpose of which is to present a distorted worldview, to humiliate, to mock, and to make complacent. White men are the last vanguard against this occupation of a hostile elite. White women are displayed with non-white men not to sell items, but as a tactic of psychological warfare against our civilization. Very rarely anymore are white men portrayed in a favorable light. They are often the overweight, goofy, clumsy, half-wit that relies on women and non-whites to save the day. From films to television to advertisements, this is an increasingly common anti-white canard. The increasing acceptance of interracial relationships over the last 70 years has not been a function of anything other than increased propaganda efforts. The outcomes are socially and individually undesirable. Little, if any, good comes from promoting white women to date and marry outside of their race. What we are seeing is a systemic attack on white identity. We are seeing but one of many aspects of the war on whites becoming a creeping normality in the West.
Hello, ladies. Look at your man. Now back to me. Now back at your man. Now back to me. Sadly, he isn't me. But if he stopped using lady-scented body wash and switched to Old Spice, he could smell like he's me.
The psychological effects of advertising have been well documented. Advertising has the ability to make people choose an inferior product simply by manipulating the affective conditioning. Studies suggest that the average American is exposed to as many as 5,000 advertisements in a day. The American Psychological Association has concluded there is a link between unhealthy food advertisements to childhood obesity and a link between tobacco and alcohol advertisements to underage smoking and drinking. The APA found these effects to be so strong that they have called for strict regulations on advertisements that are marketed to children. The most recent and perhaps belligerent example of anti-white propaganda came from Netflix via a set of three commercials for the company. The series of the three commercials is titled The Couple, which features a white woman and a black man. The commercial Open Relationship from the series depicts two couples, an interracial couple and a white couple, where the white man is depicted as small, weak, insecure, unprogressive, and close-minded. His white girlfriend quickly decides to cast him aside to spend the evening with the interracial couple, as the black man quite literally steals the man's girlfriend in front of him, humiliating him. This is a commercial, with the alleged intent to encourage more people to subscribe to Netflix. It came to my attention that this commercial was not a result of white ethnomasochism, but perhaps something far more disquieting. HLG Studios out of Los Angeles was behind the production of the three commercials. HLG has worked on advertising campaigns for a myriad of national brands, from fast food chains to banks, technology companies, and clothing retailers. HLG Studios was founded by Yuri Baranovsky, the same man who directed Netflix's race-mixing anti-white propaganda pieces. Baranovsky is Jewish. This revelation piqued my interest and sent me down a bit of a rabbit hole in the advertising industry. I quickly found that the marketing industry is very much akin to the media industry. Just four megacorporations control the vast majority of all advertising agencies. The Omnicom Group of New York, WPP of London, Publicis of Paris, and Interpublic of New York are the key corporations in the West. The New York Times states these companies are so powerful, quote, they can indirectly set network television schedules and starve magazines to death or help them flourish, unquote, by deciding how and when to spend advertising dollars. Each company owns dozens, if not hundreds, of smaller agencies. Omnicom has bought over 150 firms alone. CEO John Wren, of Irish descent, currently heads Omnicom Group. Omnicom was founded by Alan Rosenshine, Keith Reinhart, and John Bernbach, all three Jewish. Long-standing CEO of Publicis has been Maurice Levy, who cited his rabbi grandfather as his greatest inspiration. Levy has been honored by the Anti-Defamation League for his work fighting anti-Semitism and his relentless promotion of diversity. WPP of London was founded and is currently run by Martin Sorrell, of Jewish descent. Chairman and CEO of the Interpublic Group, IPG, is Michael Esor Roth. I found no mention of his ethnicity. Roth did, however, condemn the, quote, white supremacist ideology, unquote, at Charlottesville and found the whole event to be deeply disturbing, as he wrote in an internal memo to 50,000 IPG employees. There seems to be a disproportionate number of Jews and those with Jewish sympathies involved in advertising, from small startup firms to multi-billion dollar corporations, all of which are promoting hostile anti-white canards while praising diversity and inclusion. These companies are not simply promoting diversity and trying to appeal to a wider range of consumers. They are promoting the increased abuse of white women. They are promoting a generation of poor, fatherless children where our tax dollars will be funneled. They are not just trying to sell products. They are trying to recreate a nation, our nation, without us. They are saying they do not want white children to be made. They are telling white men they have no place in society. We need to stand guard with unwavering and watchful eyes and shine a light on the constant barrage of attacks. Every single time I come across an advertisement that highlights diversity in an absurd way or promotes miscegenation, I make a point to share it online and with my friends and family. I personally take a note of companies that insist on promoting miscegenation and do not spend my money with them. If they want the diverse consumer, they can have them.